Let's get to the Rashog Report, brought to you by The Golf Den. 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. They're open. You and your buddies get in for some preseason golf, watch some hockey, and also check out the video swing analysis and custom club fitting. Go to golfden.ca. Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shar, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, fellas?
We're doing great.
Music's got me fired up too, by the way.
You like that?
Oh.
Do you watch American Crime, the new show? It just came out.
No, I heard you talking about it, though.
Highly,
I might have to give it a go.
Highly recommend it. Big fan of that show. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Took me 4 days to get through the new season of House Cards, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I'm already done as well.
I'm disappointed. I'm mad at myself. Like, it's like Halloween, right? I was the kid that just blew through my whole Halloween bag in like 4 days. My older brother had it for like 8 months, and I was so sour because he'd be still crushing those Halloween candies in like May. And I was just done. And I feel that way about House of Cards. Like, why not once a week for, you last you like months and months.
Well, that's true.
That's just done.
It's totally true. And especially because the middle of the season was meh, but then the final episode totally hooked you again for next year.
Oh, man. And why does Netflix do that to us? Why don't they just, they need to like baby feed us. They can't just give us the whole thing at once. I mean, they need to protect us from ourselves.
It's called maturity. You should be mature enough and have enough discipline to pace yourself, bud.
So, Fred, you're telling me that if Game of Thrones, an entire season came out all at once, that you would sit there and in a very disciplined fashion watch one every 10 days or so?
No, every 7 days, Sunday nights.
Oh, man.
such a liar.
So, yes, I am telling you that.
Let's talk a little bit about the Jets. Tyler Myers, man, people in Winnipeg are raving about this guy. And even Drew Stafford, who was a pretty good player in Buffalo prior to this season. Both guys look like they've been given some new life.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, to me, Myers is the interesting one, right? Because, I mean, over the years, there had been sort of smatterings of rumors about Tyler Myers and the Oilers and there potentially being a fit there or a trade. You know, he had that amazing rookie season, put up all kinds of points, and then really it's been a bit of a downhill slide for him since then. And he's one of those guys where teams kind of wondered, like, is he worth the money they're paying him? Is he going to be able to get back to that form he showed before? Is his confidence too low? He was viewed as kind of this risky acquisition to make. And Sheldon Dayoff just went out and did it. You know, now that he's done it, the guy's just been in great form, and he's looked really, really good.
Well, Shogra, the thing about a player like that is there's no doubt he's got some offensive ability, but it's his skating and his size. I mean, he takes up so much space and just creates space when he jumps up in the play, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, and like I talked to a couple of the guys today just about practicing against him. They said it's just a nightmare practicing against him. Like the wingspan is ridiculous, and the athleticism, the agility. Like when have we seen a guy that size who looks that comfortable on his, you know, Strubs, like guys that are that tall, like even Chara, they kind of have always seemed awkward, right? Like Pronger was pretty good on his skates, but this guy, he's deep in his stride, he's powerful, he's a ridiculous skater for a guy that size, and then he's got an offensive element to his game. But Paul Maurice said today, I mean, never mind his 10 points, he's playing unbelievable defense for them, and he's playing every night against the top players on the other team and doing a real good job of it. And really, the crazy thing about it is when Winnipeg gets healthy, I mean, they got Dustin Byfuglien that's sitting there too. So he even, you know, Myers' minutes can even be backed off a little bit more. Like, he's 2 minutes less now than he was in Buffalo, and it's helping him not having to play as much.
Well, when they get healthy, Shogar, I think I look at that right side. That might be the most dangerous right side in the league with Trouba, Byfuglien, and Myers. I mean, that's
crazy.
A nightmare of a matchup, not to mention the left side where they have some pretty good defensive men as well.
Well, can you imagine? Like, Byfuglien, so when Byfuglien's not on the ice, then Myers steps over the boards? And it's not like Myers is he's not a really physically imposing menace out there. You know what I mean? He doesn't blow guys up. He's not, I don't think he's really, I wouldn't even say that he's the type of player who's really difficult to play against the way you might describe it, but just the sheer size of him makes him tough to maneuver around and play against. So I think it's really interesting because, you know, and I asked him today about what all the losing in Buffalo did and the effect that maybe it had on him. And, you know, they don't want to throw the Sabres under the bus. They're going to be careful about what they say. But you really get the feeling like all of that losing and all that meaningless hockey on a 22, 23, 24-year-old kid really weighed on him. You know, he felt the weight of the world to try and be the answer. And it's maybe a little bit of a cautionary tale for the Oilers in, being careful about evaluating these guys and their worth as pro players in this situation, especially young guys who you insulate them with some veteran guys and you put them on a team that where games mean something, and they're probably going to be a lot better than they are in the middle of this mess.
You're free. You're free to play. That's the biggest thing. You know, it's such a difference. Such a difference. Now, Shauger, I want to get your thoughts on the overtime when Todd Nelson decided to go with three forwards and one D.
Yeah. Sorry, on the three forwards.
Where does this come from? Is this just something he wanted to try? Is this the numbers? Is it just that he's like, screw it, we're struggling, let's go for it?
Yeah, you know, well, I mean, Todd Nelson needs wins, and I think he probably felt better about his odds of getting a goal in overtime than he did his odds of winning a shootout. And I like it, man. It's aggressive. It's saying, hey, we're going for it here. There's nothing to hold back on. And I like it. It's not like he doesn't have the horses, right? It's not like it's, you know, another team where maybe even their higher-end offensive guys don't give you that much of an advantage. I mean, he's got good players to put out there, guys that can really skate. And I like it. I like the aggressiveness that he coaches with in that way. And let's face it, guys, he needs wins. Like, he needs wins. He's going to be evaluated on a lot of things, but nothing will be more important than wins, and he doesn't have a ton of them right now. So I like it.
Oh, I think he has to go for it. I don't have a problem with it. If they lose, oh well. Like honestly, at this point, I don't think it's really going to matter that much at all. And I understand what you said about the wins. I just hope management understands that when you look at the group of players, a coach is only as good ultimately as his group of players. Now, a coach can be bad. We saw that with Dallas Aikens. He wasn't getting the most out of his players. There's no doubt. But even if Nelson's getting the absolute 100% most out of this team, it's still not that good.
Yeah, and it's kind of two different conversations, right? It's the conversation about what needs to improve on the team and what Craig McTavish has to get done. And then when you're evaluating Todd Nelson, it's you know, it's about wins, but it's also what did he get out of the group that he was given, right? So, I mean, he hasn't had Taylor Hall for most of his tenure as head coach. That's the Oilers' best offensive player, hasn't been in the lineup for most of the time that he has been head coach. So, you know, David Perron was traded. So you look at what he's been able to do with what he has, and I understand what you've been saying all along, Jason, about, you know, people can't be fooled. They're not winning games. The record is not that much better. It's not like he's been some sort of savior. But I think he will be judged on what he was able to get out of the players that played for him, and in particular, the high-end guys. And I don't think any of the three of us can debate that Jordan Eberle's been a different player under him, that even Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has come on.
Well, this year, been a different player. Like, because Eberle had 65 points under Dallas Aikens last year.
Yeah, but we all saw what the first half of his year looked like.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Dallas was the problem with Jordan. My point is, Jordan wasn't playing at this level until Todd took over. And really, for whatever reason, you know, part of his season turned around under Nelson. And you can say the same thing about a few pretty important players in the lineup. So you have to consider those check marks in Todd Nelson's, you know, on the positive side of the ledger for him when it comes time to determine his fate, wouldn't you? I mean, you have to get credit for some of that, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, you do. But listen, I think we'd agree that Dallas Aikens, for whatever reason, didn't help this team out. So the question I run around through my mind is, you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, Dallas Aikens brought this team down. Are these guys just playing out where they would have been playing if Dallas Aikens maybe hadn't done what he'd done? Or has Todd Nelson taken him above what they would have normally been? I think that's the ultimate question for Craig McTavish, because there are talented players on this team, and sooner or later they're going to break out. You know, maybe it was Dallas Aikens, maybe it wasn't, whatever. Under his time, it didn't work. So are they now above where they would have been if they're just on their talent, or is this where they should have been? And that's where, if I'm Craig McTavish, I can't sleep at night because I have to make that decision.
Well, and that's just it, right? So it's like it's kind of unfair the way you just put that. And I'm not saying you're wrong. But it's unfair, because for Todd Nelson, it's like, well, you're darned if you do, and you're darned if you didn't. And either way, you know what I mean? Like, it's so does he get credit for the positives that have happened since he took over, or is it just, well, it was that bad before that you could have got, no offense, Dreds, you or Jason could have got behind the bench and elicited those same results? Or does he get credit? Does he get credit for Jordan Eberle feeling a little lighter day to day and just, you know, maybe being happier coming and going from the rink? And maybe
big part. What do you say?
Well, I think he gets credit for creating an environment where the players feel a little bit better day to day about what they're doing. I think that's been a big part of his program and what he's done. That was supposed to be one of the positives of Todd Nelson. He gets players to play for him. He gets players to play for one another. That was his trademark in the American League. Craig McTavish said it himself. The challenge will be, can he do that with pro players that are at the NHL level already? It's one thing to do it with American League guys who are desperate to get to the show. It's another thing to do it with millionaires who are already there. And I can't, you have to give him a check mark for that. He answered that question that, yes, he can. The players are clearly playing in a different way for him than they were before. I don't think you can take that away from him. It's not fair.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. The thing is, I hope the management realizes, I don't care who the head coach is, if they don't have better players, they're not winning. Simple.
Oh, man, for sure. 100% for sure. And that's a starting goaltender. That's at least one top-pairing defenseman. That's another top-six forward.
How about three?
Well, I mean, let's see what happens.
No, but I'm just saying, you got to change out the makeup of this team, Shogger. It's just not, they're not heavy enough. They're not big enough. They're not gritty enough. The makeup of the team has to change. I'm not saying it can all change in one summer, but before this team gets to be a competitive team, when I look at the roster today, realistically, I see at the most, when this team's competitive, 7 or 8 players on the team.
Well, and McTavish is talking about returning 17 or 18 next year.
Yeah, well, then they won't be competitive.
Off the roster, right? Yeah. That's not a great marketing message to fans about how many players are going to come back from this 28th place team and da 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 da. But I think we can all agree that, I mean, they need to make some pretty significant changes. This will be a crucial offseason for Craig McTavish. He kind of botched it on the decision to hire Dallas. He had the goalie in the palm of his hands and let him go, maybe overvalued a draft pick a little bit too much. He's had some bogeys along the way. He's had some positives along the way. It's very, very seldom, Jason, as we've talked about, for a GM to get fired in the first couple of years of his tenure. But this offseason right now is where he has the ability to affect the most change. And he can't just have a neutral offseason. It has to be a very positive offseason where significant changes are made. And he has the assets and the bullets in the gun to try and get some of that done.
Shogger, we'll see you at the rink. Have a good one.
Right on, guys. Have a good one.